Thanks for tuning in to Mysteries of the Mind, a podcast revealing the way our unconscious minds shape our lives. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Bader.
How exactly does psychotherapy work? How and why do people get better in therapy? That's the question for today. Well, the answer you get from professionals depends on the orientation of the therapist you're talking to. Because each school of thought has a theory as to how and why their approach works, and, oh, well, of course, why their approach works better than anyone else's approach. Some of them talk about changing the way clients in therapy think, the patterns and habits of thought that create suffering. Others focus on the power of mindfulness to identify negative thoughts and feelings and to then let them go. And still others emphasize the importance of the past, the contribution of our childhoods to our present difficulties. These therapists focus on the ways, in other words, that we repeat the past in the present. And according to this model, therapeutic progress comes from excavating the traumas of our growing up and healing them in a supportive relationship with a therapist. And finally, it should be said, most people agree that the development of a trusting relationship between therapist and client, in whatever school of thought you're talking about, is essential to the work of change. But while each person is different and each therapy unique, the essential engine of change in psychotherapy isn't all that complicated. Here's the crux of the matter. People get better in therapy when two things happen. First, the cultivation of self-awareness and psychological insight into the workings of one's mind is usually a powerful tool in curing what ails us. That's the first thing. And second, people get better when they have real positive experiences that correct the bad experiences that cause them to get unhappy and go into therapy to begin with. So insight, first, and then second, what we might call corrective emotional experiences, are the two key things that have to happen in any successful psychotherapy. So let's take the first one. Why is insight so important? Well, regardless of our orientation, therapists tend to believe that the root causes of emotional suffering are often unknown to the person doing the suffering. And if we can expose the hidden causes of our suffering, we can gain some better control over them. In this sense, knowledge is power. For example, let's consider a common enough problem that people in therapy have. Although it might seem irrational at first glance, many of us are afraid that if we get better, if we get healthier, if we manage, you know, to get more of the good things in life, if we move forward in our lives towards healthy goals, something bad might happen. Yeah, this is called survivor guilt. It's a kind of superstition, and it's almost universal. Change, in other words, even positive change, is scary. We may have problems, but, you know, they're our problems. They're familiar, and we are used to them. Psychotherapy helps us understand the ways that we fear change, the things we're afraid of, and it helps us understand the reasons we're afraid of these things. It makes these fears and the ways we avoid scary things by shooting ourselves in the foot, it makes all of this conscious. Once we're aware of what we're afraid of, we almost automatically get less scared. Once we see, once we really understand all the ways that we hold ourselves back in order to feel safer, we no longer are as compelled to do so. We can, if you will, risk being happy. So insight, knowledge of ourselves, our feelings, our fears, our stories, is critically important in producing change in therapy. When we understand what triggers us and why, we're freer to make better choices. It's said, you know, that psychological problems grow in darkness but get better in the light, and I think that's true. But insight isn't usually enough. People also need to have real experiences, you know, in the real world that help them change their view of themselves and their view of others. This is true, you know, in life as well as in therapy. For example, someone who grows up feeling unloved then feels, more often than not, unlovable. Such a person suffers from low self-esteem, but we know people aren't doomed to despair, and there's lots of people who manage to improve their self-esteem over time without therapy. How do they do it? Well, it seems simplistic, but here's the answer. It's love in the real world. Such a person improves his or her self-esteem as a result of finding a loving partner. A partner's love is an antidote to that person's private sense that he or she is undeserving of love. The experience sounds simplistic, but it's very profound. Love can cure depression. But as is so often the case with matters of the mind, you know, this situation is more complicated than I'm making it out to seem. Because, you know, we often see depressed people screw up potentially good relationships, don't we? It turns out that if we believe we're unworthy, we can easily set relationships up to fail, thereby confirming our sense of being unlovable. We see this a lot. On the other hand, when the external environment is telling us that we're special, that we're lovable, we can potentially overcome our private doubts. And the point I'm making here is that having good experience can and does transform someone's psychological life, even though it's not automatic. In fact, this is often when insight comes into play. When someone experiences something new, like I'm talking about, something corrective and healing, the likelihood that that person's going to learn from it, will change for the better, is enhanced if he or she understands what's going on, if the entire process is reviewed and understood. So let's say I suffer from a sense that I'm unimportant to others. But then I meet people who contradict this, who regard me as special. I'm more likely to improve my self-image if I also know what's going on. You know, if I know that I've always felt unimportant and why, and if I can see that my current positive experience is offering me proof that my old belief is wrong. If this whole process can come under conscious review, we say, you're more likely to learn and to change. So insight and new experience work together. But new experience is still important. In psychotherapy, new experience comes in two ways. First, the therapist relates to the client in ways that are intentionally positive, intentionally and deliberately empathic and supportive. And in so doing, we contradict the client's negative beliefs and expectations over and over again. So the therapeutic relationship itself is one of these new experiences that helps cure the client. Secondly, though, the therapist will often encourage the client to experiment out in the real world, outside of therapy, with ways of being and acting that are the opposite of his or her negative habits and relationships. So, you know, for example, I might encourage a client who's, say, has social fears, is afraid of socializing with people. I might encourage that client to venture into gradually more and more crowded venues, trying to balance all the while feelings of safety with experimenting with new behavior. In this way, learning that social contact doesn't have to be dangerous. Or let's say someone has trouble asking for help. And that's their problem. They ask me for help. I might encourage that person to find someone they trust and to make a very small ask of that person, to ask for help, all the while helping the patient review and examine the feelings that get stirred up when they do. I'm not, in other words, just providing a new experience in the therapy for the client, but I'm encouraging the client to go out into the world and have new experiences apart from me. In all these cases, the curative force is the almost visceral learning that occurs when new experiences contradict negative old experiences and expectations. Without real-world positive practical experiences, insight can and does remain pretty abstract and theoretical. But the combination of insight with corrective emotional experiences is usually exactly what the doctor ordered.
Thanks for listening to Mysteries of the Mind podcast. To learn more about how your unconscious mind really works, please tune in next time. And be sure to visit Dr. Bader's website at michaelbader.com.